It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio. And this morning's show, I hope you're going to enjoy it because I'm going to take you on a bit of a trip. If you recall last week on the show, I was joking that I was importing black flies into Canada as I crossed the border. Well, after four decades of going to the remote wilderness of northern Manitoba, I returned there this past week with my son for his first experience in the true north country of northern Manitoba, where the road ends and where literally the marshes and rivers just virtually, well, they do go to the horizon and they go beyond. So the region is one that I, over 40 years ago, fell in love with when I was writing for Field & Stream, an outdoor life magazine, and I was chasing ducks and trying to catch fish, and I went to the end of the road in Manitoba, and I've been back virtually every year since. It's a special paradise, and there are a group of us from Chicago that have over four decades now gone as well. Unfortunately, two in the group, are no longer with us, and they look on us from the heavens above, and the three of us left are still going. This year, though, it was just my son and me on what is a 23-hour drive from Chicago north. You travel through Minnesota, you travel through the Dakotas, and you head up into Manitoba, and I did. You'll laugh maybe at this. I bought an I Love Canada bumper sticker and put it in the back of my truck, because I had heard stories about, after what's happened with Canadian-U.S. relations in the last 9 months, I heard stories about maybe I wouldn't be as welcome as I once was. I didn't find any of that. In fact, what I found was Canadian after Canadian that I've long known, or whether you go in the coffee shop or you go in the gas station, they love us Americans. A lot of what you hear about in the media, I didn't find at all. But I did proudly have I Love My Canada bumper sticker on my truck, because I do. So heading up to the North Country where the road ends in early October has been a ritual for me for over four decades. And having my son with me for the first time, well, it made it incredibly special. What did we see? For those of you who want to just close your eyes, not if you're driving, please, and just kind of imagine, we found a moose on the side of the road who stared and looked at us, a remote gravel road, and we drove. The last part of the drive is over 200 miles of gravel. There's not a single house. There's not a gas station. There's nothing for over 200 miles. And so we're moving along on this tree-lined, incredibly beautiful forested area in the right on the Saskatchewan-Manitoba border. And the fall colors this year, it's so late, they had not even had a frost. Not even a frost in northern Manitoba by the 1st of October. The fall colors were in their full splendor, the aspens and the willows and the shrubs. Everything was in the berry bushes. Everything was just exploding in color. So we're driving along this gravel road, canoe on top of our truck, and a moose is standing in the road. So we slow to a stop, and the moose looks at us, and I thought, uh-oh, is this going to be one of those chimes that a moose charges you? It didn't. It turned sideways and basically off to the shoulder of the road and proceeded to go in the direction we were going. So we drove alongside it. We drove alongside the moose for almost three quarters of a mile as it just literally loped alongside the truck. We got up to 22 miles an hour and the moose was just chugging right along with us. And finally, it decided it had had enough of this. And so it dodged off into the bush. And as moose do, it's hard to believe, this enormous animal with these huge antlers, it takes three steps into the bush and you can't see it at all. Bears on the road. We saw grouse on the road. The purpose of our trip, obviously, for me, is to return to the place where I love duck hunting more than anywhere else in the world. And over 44 years plus, I can tell you, it's changed so dramatically. For those of you who've been to northern Canada and seen the incredible bounty of wildfowl on the wing, you'll find it hard to believe that over four decades, it's almost all gone. Not the geese. The geese are there in abundance beyond anything I can ever recall, but it's the ducks. The ducks are virtually gone. And there's a very famous pass in the North Country between two lakes and the Saskatchewan River where for, I think, since the beginning of time, ducks went over this pass by the thousands, even earlier on, probably the hundreds of thousands. I first 40 years ago saw them go over by the thousands as the day turned to dark. And in Canada, you can shoot half an hour after dark. And the First Nations people would line the gravel road and shoot till you couldn't even see the silhouettes as thousands and thousands of ducks winged overhead on this pass. I arrived this year to go to the pass to watch the scene. There was not a shotgun shell on the road. There was not a hunter to be found. And my son and I did not see a single duck, not one duck, go over this, what I only consider to be one of the greatest duck passes I'd ever seen in my life. And I've been fortunate to see some great ones. So what's happened? Nobody really seems to know. But from thousands and thousands of ducks every evening, which is how the First Nations tribes in northern Manitoba often fill their freezers for the winter, standing there on this pass at dusk shooting ducks, to not a single duck going over, it tells you there's something really, really wrong in this part of northern Manitoba. And the collapse of the bluebill or lesser scaup population is clearly evident. One of the things you do in northern Manitoba is you paddle canoes. And in the time that my son and I were there, I figured we paddled somewhere between 40 and 50 miles in a light Kevlar two-man canoe with our English Cocker Spaniel, who, yes, for those of you saying English Cocker Spaniel, they're not a duck dog. Well, Scout is just a great companion, and the weather was so mild, so he had no problem retrieving ducks. And to travel literally just, we saw one other hunter in the entire time we were there. We traveled for miles down remote rivers to remote marshes and then would continue out across looking for birds. Fortunately, we did find a couple places that had the kind of populations that I have experienced over the years. But by and large, the number of birds in this region of northern Manitoba, and I hear it's also true across regions of Saskatchewan that are in the same latitude, just very few birds. But geese, let me tell you, snow geese in numbers that are just mind-boggling. We happened to arrive on the night that the snow geese flew all night coming down from Hudson and James Bay. We were staying on the shores of a lake in a rustic log cabin where I did learn that if you're over 5 feet, 10 inches tall, you're going to whack your head walking out the door. I had the pleasure of doing that. So to make sure I didn't do it twice, I put a piece of duct tape hanging from the door and hit that before I hit my head on the door. But we stood out at night, the first night, and we listened to just the skeins of snow geese going overhead. And it lasted all night. And when we got up the next morning to a strong west blow, the geese were continuing unabated, and they flew all the next day. For a solid 24 hours, snow geese cleared out of the Arctic and headed south. And what we were seeing was taking place on an east-to-west grid for probably 400 or 500 miles across this latitude of the prairies. Just a massive migration of birds. Many of them settled into the nearby farm fields, but it was just absolutely epic to be there when the birds arrived and to have them fly overhead. And when the birds, the second night, finally stopped flying, the sky cleared, we had a northern light show that was unlike any I've actually ever seen. And I've seen some incredible northern lights displays in Alaska and northern Canada. If you could fly, as people do, to Norway or to Iceland and Greenland to see the northern lights, they had nothing on the northern lights that we saw. We got up in the morning and the whole sky was just dancing with multicolors. It was an extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary sight. One thing about the northern lights that was odd is it was warm. We sat out on the dock well into the night, 60-degree weather, in our shirt sleeves, staring up at this incredible spectacle above. It should have been in the 30s. And in fact, the entire time we were in northern Canada, it broke one record temperature after another. We never had a day when the temperature was less than 70 degrees, over 20 degrees above normal. And in all the 4+ decades I've been going, never experienced anything like that. But I'm not complaining. When I come back from the break, I'll tell you about a little bit about what it's like to take a swim in northern Manitoba, an unexpected one, and then a couple more stories from the wilds of the North before I bring us back into the Chicago and Illinois part of the world. You're listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And now a word from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me this morning. Charlie Potter here on the Great Outdoors Show, and I hope you're enjoying my tales of a week in just one of the most remote, wild, wonderful parts of our continent where the road ends up in northern Manitoba. And if you're just joining me, well, you've joined me in time to talk a little bit about how not everything goes as planned, no matter how many times you've done this. So paddling with my son on his first experience to the Paw and the region on north of Flin Flon and on north of Flin Flon and over into Saskatchewan and into the Cumberland House, it's a canoe trip. You have a shotgun, you have some decoys, and you have a canoe. And we paddled for over 40 miles, closer to 50 miles. One day we paddled for 15 miles, round trip, going out relatively light, coming back with a full bag of ducks and a huge headwind. On that morning, the temperature decided that not to be 60 degrees as it had been, but rather it plunged to 25 as a big ground fog rolled in. And so we launched our canoe on a very remote trail way back in the wilderness, and we headed west, or we were going to head west. It was dark. We had northern lights to guide us getting there, but when we got there, the ground fog came in and the temperature plummeted. We loaded up the canoe, and we put our English Cocker Spaniel in his kennel so that he wouldn't tip the canoe. We didn't have any portages this day. We just had a long, long canoe paddle down a river to what we hoped would be a duck-filled marsh at the end. My son, for the first time, he got in the stern of the canoe. I had been in the stern the entire time, and I stepped in the bow, just as you always step into a canoe. The problem was we hadn't balanced the canoe before I stepped in, and I put one foot in the canoe, and when I lifted my other one, the canoe turtled and went completely upside down, and I went completely upside down in the dark in 25-degree temperatures and probably 45-degree river water, upside down. Everything came out of the canoe, my son being a lot younger and a lot more athletic than I am and agile. He managed somehow to swing his legs back out of the canoe and to stand in the just above waist-deep water as the canoe turned over. So he didn't get wet at all. Meanwhile, I was wet from head to toe. And when I came up, of course, my first reaction is grab the dog kennel, because here was our English Cocker Spaniel Scout trapped in a kennel, which was now floating down a river. Trey was able to grab the dog and quickly get the kennel to shore. Believe me, it took a little while to get Scout to want to get back into that kennel. So we put everything back in the canoe and grabbed guns that were floating down the river and sinking and grabbed our decoys and grabbed our quote-unquote dry bag. And I've done this rodeo enough to always have a dry bag. That dry bag is a change of clothes. It can rain, you can fall in. The only problem with my dry bag this morning, and some of you will start laughing, those of you who know me in particular will laugh as well, I forgot to seal it. So I closed my dry bag, but I didn't seal it. So the dry bag went for its swim. All the clothes at the top of the bag got wet too, which meant that when I went to change from my completely soaked clothing into what I thought was my second set of clothing, I found that All I had was a shirt and a jacket that weren't wet. Otherwise, everything else was soaking, was just as wet as I was. So we decided, well, it was going to be a warm day. It was supposed to warm up into the 70s, even though it was only 25 then. I wasn't going to freeze to death, particularly having to paddle 15 miles in a canoe. I knew that I'd get plenty warm. So I turned to Trey and I said, let's go. So after putting everything back into the canoe and draining the water out of our gun cases and draining the water out of our food bucket and having completely soaked everything, we got back in the canoe. This time and we returned to the stern of the canoe and we paddled some 15 miles to this incredibly remote, beautiful marsh, whereupon entering the marsh through a web of cattails and grass and side channels, we were welcomed with the sight of green-winged teal buzzing all over, mallards in the bush, and it was the kind of northern Manitoba experience that you hope to get, you don't always, and on that beautiful morning in northern Manitoba, my son saw for the first time what it's really like to have a true northern wilderness duck hunt when everything goes right. At least everything went right for him. The fact that I was soaking wet for the next 10 hours didn't mean everything went right for me, but in the warm sunshine, I warmed up and quickly forgot about the fact that I had water in my waders up to my navel. That's just part of what happens in northern Manitoba. So as I close out the show for the week, I think about times we have with our kids and with special friends. And all of you listening in one way or another have a special place that you've gone with your family or your friends that really is above all else in the outdoors. It could just be as simple as a bike ride. It could be a walk. In my case, it's a little more extreme. It's going to the very northern reaches of Manitoba where the road ends, getting in a canoe and paddling further and seeing what's there. It's an incredibly liberating experience and with memories that will last an absolute lifetime. So I'll sign off this morning with this in mind. After four decades, I've seen, unfortunately, a tremendous decline in the duck population in this part of the northern wilderness. I've seen more snow geese now than ever before, and I have memories that will last the rest of my lifetime and hopefully the beginning of memories for my son as I pass the torch from me to him and the next generation of hopefully people hunting, being able to hunt in places where there are no lights, there are no cell service, you're totally on your own in the wilderness with your own instincts, just you and Mother Nature. It's a glorious feeling, a glorious experience. And I hope that each of you in your own way can have your own experiences in the great outdoors this coming fall that will provide memories not only for you for a lifetime, but for those with you. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.